This is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
It is February 1st. January is always the longest month of the year. We got through it. Now we're on to the shortest month of the year, officially. Even with leap year, still the shortest, Angel. Still got 29 days. What did we learn on this first day of February? Well, I learned that the Denver Nuggets are just a completely different basketball team. We know that already, but I've never seen a team just night and day difference when Joker's not on the floor. But I will say this. Aaron Gordon impressed me. It went up another notch last night. Dude, the guy's starting to pass like Nikola Jokic. Some of his passes are looking like the Joker's. I admire that guy, Aaron Gordon, so much because he was a different player in Orlando. His first year with the Nuggets, he was a different player. He's become a different player to help them win a championship. He's taking another step. That guy is the example of coachable, of leadership. I mean, he is Mr. Nugget. So I learned another thing about Aaron Gordon, man. He's a delight. Angel, what'd you learn?
Yeah, on that point as well, that the Nuggets are very different without Jokic, but still good enough to compete with one of the better teams in the league right now. Also learned in college basketball, it's getting close. We're a month away from March Madness getting going, from conference tournaments getting going. And it seems like a lot of these games are becoming must-wins, even though they may not feel like it. Every game matters at this point on. Each one feels like the intensity is getting up higher and higher.
Yeah, I do feel like for CSU, you got to beat Fresno State on the road. You have to. For UNC, it's not really must-win. It's still just about what you do in the tournament, but you want to set yourself up so maybe you can get a bye and be in the first three, right? Top three. Mm-hmm. So that's what you're trying to do. If you're the UNC Bears, is get that first round bye, make it easier on yourself. That would go a long way if you get a dub tonight. Every night's game. I mean, we're getting down to it. Where it's like the 10 win or the 10 game mark or something like that. So it's time to keep growing, keep putting your best foot forward. And for the Bears, there's some spotlight on them right now. So now you got to go win those kind of games. So, yeah, it'll be a big one tonight. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. We learned a few things. I know. Dixon is a big anti-Aaron Gordon fan. That's what I learned today. That's what I learned today is Dixon, no matter what, doesn't like Aaron Gordon. Yes, I said that. He missed free throws. 1 of 6. We lost by 5. That is not the reason that you lost. It's just you can do the mathematical thing, but OKC plays a different game. I hate that. I don't like that.
They did lose by 5.
But that's, again, things change if throughout the game if you're... I just don't love that.
He's great. He's awesome, but he's not perfect.
Yeah, he can't. He's not Michael Jordan. We want him to be Michael Jordan. Listen, the whole, like, he missed 5 free throws, we would have won. Or we would have tied at least and gone to overtime. No, man, because teams play differently when the score is this thing. And if Gordon makes those, and let's say it's 2 minutes left and, you know, it's OKC's tied up or whatever, they play a different game in the final 2 minute stretch. That's just different. All right. So it's like I say about football. If Baltimore would have ended up getting that touchdown that was fumbled by Flowers, then I think San Francisco plays even Kansas City plays even a different game. They marched down feeling the pressure, and Patrick Mahomes goes and puts up a touchdown. So I don't always subscribe to that thinking of, well, if they would have scored a touchdown, we'd win. It just doesn't work like that to me. All right, we got a lot to get to on a Friday. It'll be fun. No picks, though. Super Bowl's in a week or more than a week. So we'll have some fun on a big Friday tomorrow. Good night, Northern Colorado.
We'll be right back.
Because by the time you read about it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more. Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
It's buy or sell time. Going to give you three topics, and you tell me, or you think about it, whatever. Whether you buy this or sell it, and I'll tell you what the actual answer is, or Angel will tell you. Or a combination of the two. Are you buying or selling that Mr. Harbaugh, now the new head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, maybe a two-parter, makes them a contender next year? Or at least gets them back. I mean, they were 5-12 this year. Gets them to the playoffs. How about that? Let's erase the contender. Harbaugh gets the Chargers into the playoffs next year. You buying or selling that?
Probably buy it. AFC is stacked, of course. The division of the AFC West is still figuring things out for at least half the teams. So I'd say yes. AFC South probably not going to see much other than the Texans. The AFC North is still competitive. AFC East is competitive. So it's going to be a race for those wild card spots.
Yeah, because here's where I go. Seven spots. Miami's getting in. Buffalo's getting in. Baltimore's getting in.
The fact that you said Miami before Buffalo.
Well, I'm just... Oh, yeah. It's near and dear to your heart. Miami, Buffalo, Baltimore, Cincinnati. Burrow's back. Cincinnati.
I don't know.
They were 9-8 without him, pretty much.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to say it for now. We'll just do it for now. Houston's back in. That's 5.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City's in. That's 6. It's either the Chargers, the Steelers, the Browns, the Broncos, Jags. I mean, that's tough. That seventh spot is going to be not a great team. So do I believe in the Chargers more than Aaron Rodgers and the Jets with Harbaugh?
Yes.
Do I believe in Cleveland with Deshaun Watson back next year after winning 11 games with a lot of Joe Flacco going on? I'm going to say I sell it. I sell it right now. Which also means I'm selling the Broncos going to the playoffs, too. I'm selling the Chargers.
I want you to get out there and sell, sell, sell!
Russell Wilson. We're going to find out more on what could happen with Russ, with Zach Stevens. We know if they cut him, they're going to owe him $39 million. Now, he has a no-trade clause, so that's not even going to work anyway, unless he, you know, signs off on it. But who's taking that trade? Nobody. Are you buying or selling that in whatever scenario, Russell Wilson is a starting quarterback for some team, maybe the Broncos, maybe the Steelers, maybe the Falcons, next season? Are you buying or selling it?
It's tough because whether the Broncos are paying him or whoever's paying him, somebody's paying him a lot of money, and it's not backup money. I'd probably have to buy that he'll be a starter in Denver or somewhere else.
He'll get some kind of... He'll have a discount-type deal. And so the way it works is, I believe, Broncos cut him, he signs on with somebody, and if it's whatever he signs for, the Broncos owe him $39 million minus that amount. That's at least what I saw on Good Morning Football this morning. I believe everything I see on TV. Will he start? Big Hub saying sell. Falcons are going to look into something with the Bears. You're buying or selling Russell Wilson as a starting quarterback?
Your sources there, Hub.
Hub's in the know, man. He's in the know.
He's got sources.
Will he take a backup role? Or does he retire?
Backup role to a rookie or backup role to a
anybody.
Journeyman?
Does he, anybody? Is he the kind of guy that will take a backup role? He did all the right things with Stidham this year. He said all the right things, except for throwing the entire organization under the bus in the locker room. But outside of that, he was a champ. I'm going to sell it.
I
want you to get out there and sell, sell, sell.
Will the Nuggets finish with the top seed in the Western Conference? Buy or sell? They doing it again?
I want to keep hoping that Minnesota and OKC are going to fall off at some point. Not fall off, but hit a streak of games. I see that more happening with OKC than Minnesota. The Nuggets do have to play Minnesota again. They're 0-1 in their series so far. Or maybe 2-0.
With Minnesota?
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall. Did they beat them once this year?
They may be tied.
Yeah, they played them early. They lost to them early. I know that. Did they lose to them later? Have they only played them once so far?
Yes.
So they're 0-1.
0-1.
So they can do a lot of damage.
You'll play them twice in March and then once in April.
So are we buying or selling it?
I'm going to buy it then.
They finished number one?
I think OKC will slip up here in the next couple of weeks. And I think you can beat the Timberwolves two more times.
Last night, I'm throwing it out the window because Joker's not there. After what I saw against Milwaukee, as it were, I'm buying it.
All cash. None of it's on the books.
It's a big game. It was a big one there. It's an interesting team, man. Nuggets are an interesting team.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're interesting for so many ways. You take a star off of a team, and yeah, it's not as good, but it still feels like the same type of basketball team. You take Nikola Jokic off the Nuggets, who is that? They don't even probably have the same plays that they run. They're a completely different basketball team.
Well, the pay scale would tell you one thing. The performance would tell you another.
That's very true. They should. The Nuggets, that's a great point. The Nuggets should be fine when Joker's not there. Because you're paying three guys a lot of freaking money to hold down the fort for you. And again, last night, you see this. Aaron Gordon's got to put this team on his back. Jamal said, you know, that big 30-plus point night the other night was great and all. And I know Joker, the superstar, is out, but I'm going to go 16. That's what I'm going to do for you. Michael Porter Jr., again, just looks disinterested, man. 15 points for him. And that part's frustrating, but when Joker's there, he, like, brings it all back together. Stitches this whole thing back together.
AG's stats from last night, 16 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 blocks, and 1 steal.
The guy shows up every night. He never looks disinterested. He never looks off. Even if he's missing, he missed free throws, but he doesn't look off. He was 1 of 6 from the free throw line. But that energy that he has, that will to win, Jamal has it on the offense a good chunk of the time.
Jamal was on the floor a lot last.
Yeah, that's true. He played 39 minutes. So did MPJ, but Murray makes... MPJ plays a lot of minutes, but he goes and stands around a lot, too. Jamal's constantly moving. So is Gordon. Gordon played 39. So that question is, like, who's the second best player on this team? Jamal's the second best player. Like, actually pound-for-pound basketball player. But Aaron Gordon is the most important player, second most important player to this team. Not more important than Johnny Easy there. It's just a different team. It's not Nuggets basketball. Not the way we've seen it since they've started building it with Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, I mean, I figured it was a scrappy game throughout. I expected them to probably lose to OKC. They've got a lot of talent there with SGA and Chet as well. They're very lengthy. I thought the Nuggets tried to do that with their length with KCP, Michael, and Peyton Watson in the starters. Christian Brown did all right last night. 10 points off the bench for him. Thought he had some good effort there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not enough late in the game against an OKC team that's on the rise.
What happened to Zeke Nagy? What happened to him?
He needs to go.
He played 9 minutes last night. He had 3 boards and 1 assist. That's your opportunity right there. Joker's out, so Watson's moving up. We're gonna need another power forward to step in from the bench. What are you doing, man? Like, that's your opportunity. And you get 2 points and you go 1 for 4. One turnover.
And DeAndre Jordan didn't play.
Yeah, why didn't Jordan play? Just coach's decision.
Maybe it's more of a, hey, I need you to be on the bench with me coaching up guys.
Maybe.
There was,
or maybe they viewed
him doing that.
Maybe they viewed that as like, OKC's really freaking good. We got no Nikola Jokic. We'll probably lose this game. Let's throw bodies out there and see who makes the most use of their minutes. I'm not saying teams tank. I'm just saying that this is going to be a tall task to win on the road against the second best team in the West with no Nikola Jokic. So let's experiment a little bit. And that's totally fine.
And it was basically a six-man lineup. Reggie Jackson had 30 minutes. And then the next highest off the bench was Christian with 16. So it was kind of like, let's throw our six guys out there and see what they can do.
I'm very curious to see what this rotation will look like. Do you think he'll go three-man like he did last year? Three guys off the bench? Or is he going to have to spread that out? Because Jackson played 30 minutes in that game.
Jackson for sure is in the rotation. Christian's in there for his defense.
And then Watson,
yeah.
Because you ain't messing with Zeke.
No.
You're not messing with Holiday. That's it. And Jordan's probably going to go back to never really seeing any time. Maybe. I mean, I don't know.
I could see him getting some playoff minutes.
A little pick and roll game works with Jackson and Jordan. They have a good feel for each other on that. Mm-hmm. So I could see that coming into play. Yeah, that's probably going to be it, for better or worse. That's the group you're going to go in with. It's going to be your five, and then Watson, Jackson, and Christian Brown. And maybe Christian Brown does have another gear that he turns up in the playoffs when the intensity is there. And, you know, sometimes teams do better in playoffs because it is a series. It's the same team every night, so you know exactly what you did wrong, and you know exactly who you're guarding and who's guarding you when you go out on the floor. So maybe you have a chance. That's why sometimes you do see players show up in a different way. And some players don't show up because the series actually hurts them the other way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really panicked about this bench yet because we same thing last year. This is about where they were last year.
Yeah.
Probably a little ahead right now, aren't they?
Yeah, and that was more just the potential of what CB was going to do. And I think you feel maybe a little more excited about what Peyton Watson can do.
Yeah.
He's still raw on the floor sometimes.
Yeah, he is, especially as an offensive player.
Definitely as an offensive player. But his defense energy is incredible. He blocks. He's got to have 2-3 blocks a game at this point. He brings that energy. He fires up the bench when they call a timeout or something. So you like to see that, and I have high hopes for him.
He's like he's got a little bit of Kenneth Faried, not quite the energy, but a little bit of that, but actually sound basketball ability. My biggest knock on Kenneth Faried was he's just high energy. He's not really backing guys down. He's not really D'ing up, you know, having that just typical defense that you see from a big man, just doing all the little things right, conquering all the X's and O's. And Watson's got a lot more of that, and his ceiling's very high. 19 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break. We got Zach Stevens coming up at the bottom of the hour. What is the future for Russell Wilson? What are the options there? And if the Bills release Von Miller, should the Broncos go pick him up? Does he get re-energized putting that orange number 58 back over his shoulder pads? We'll talk about all that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron.
Keep up with all the state wrestling action at Ball Arena with KFKA's updates throughout each tournament day. Presented by Bruce Sandow of Clearwater Sediment and Erosion.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Big game tonight for the UNC Bears. They got the next four games at home. This is going to give them an opportunity to really try to catch up a bit to Eastern Washington, but maybe set themselves apart from the Montanas and Montana States of the world because they play them next week at home. Tonight, they have Idaho State, and Idaho State is 8-13, 3-5 in the conference. This is definitely a game that you feel like you should be able to win, Angel. They got one, their center, Braden Parker, averaging 13.5 points per game, about 6 boards per game. So that'll be kind of where, you know, you look at UNC's big men to to be able to kind of shut him down. But really, Angel, this should be like Brock Wisney can shut him down and St. Thomas does his thing. This should be a Bears win tonight, right? I mean, we'd be upset if they lost.
Yeah, it would be a tough one to swallow if they lost this game. They are the better team. You like the way that they responded last weekend against Idaho after the Eastern Washington game. We've talked with players, guys that like they like playing at home. They haven't been at home for a while. I think it's beach night for the student section fans out there.
Cool.
So should be some good energy there in the bank.
Yeah, beach night was fun. That was what we did. We went out to that game.
That was the Weber State game.
The late one, right?
The ESPN U.
Yeah, and it was ESPN, and that was a lot of fun. So the Bears are rolling, and these are the kind of games you want to win because they're getting attention put on them right now. Obviously, St. Thomas is getting a lot of that attention. You're seeing all these local news networks do stories on him with his obviously going through his mental health struggles that he's gone through, that he's documenting and he's putting out there for everybody to see. And that's the most important part. But the secondary part of that is you're getting coverage on a really great player on a UNC basketball team. Not just KFKA covering them. Not just the Greeley Tribune. You're getting Denver outlets. Omaha TV stuff's doing stuff because, of course, that's where he's from. So when you get that spotlight and you start to get some of that, you got to take advantage of it. You got to find a way to win these games now that you're getting some attention on you.
Absolutely. I mean, I think Saint is probably the front runner for Big Sky Player of the Year. Got his sixth Big Sky Player of the Week award.
He's going to be the Big Sky Player of the Year. He's got to be.
I hope so.
Awesome. You can't win all those Players of the Week and then not get Player of the Year. Here's a crazy question. I've heard rumblings from people, not negative, positive, that St. Thomas, stick with me, Angel, could he actually get selected in the second round of the NBA draft?
It's possible.
How unrealistic is that?
I don't think it's unrealistic at all. He's got, you know, you hear people talk about him. You hear other outlets talk about him. He's got the size for the NBA. He's got the talent. It seems like he's working on the mental side of it, and he seems to be doing well at that. And, you know, you have connections.
Mm-hmm.
You have ability, and you become the Big Sky Player of the Year. People are going to look at you. They're going to say, hey, who's this St. Thomas kid? I mean,
yeah.
Look at his name. It's amazing.
Well, the name's what caught me when I first heard that he was transferring to UNC. And then, you know, you don't know what to expect. You're not sure. You know, you're not sure about any of these guys, how they're going to respond.
Yeah, I mean, I had a chance to speak with him at the preseason scrimmage we went to, and he seemed very sure of what his role would be, but he didn't really talk much about what, you know, he wasn't like, I'm going to put up 20 points a game and 10 rebounds a game and all that. He seemed more grateful for the opportunity he had coming from Loyola Chicago, not getting a lot of time there, dealing with the mental health stuff. And you're just it's cool to just see him flourish from meeting him back in September to where he's at now and the way he has brought this team together. It's fun to see, and the success is it's coming out of that.
He's really a good young man, too. I interview a lot of players, and he's one of the only ones I remember shortly after the interview. He shoots me a message. Normally, I like to thank everybody. You know, coaches we get on, I send them an email or a note after the show and just say, thanks for jumping on the show today. Really appreciate you. And St. Thomas beat me to that when he was on. And that's, to me, that's a rare thing, folks. As a guy like that, go root for a guy like this. You want to have players like this on a regular basis? Then you should go root for guys like this. If you have the time and you can afford to go out tonight, I strongly suggest you do. You look at tickets. In fact, I've got a 4-pack of tickets to give away right now. Go see this team in action. St. Thomas, the fact that we're even asking the question, could he actually get into the draft on day 2 of the NBA draft? Because they're doing that now. So if you have the time, if it's available for you, you should get out and check out this game tonight. UNC taking on Idaho State. We had Jaron Riley on yesterday. He's an exceptional young player. Riley Abercrombie's been with this Bears team for a bit. He's a stud. Brock Wisney's a fine player, too. Day-Day Reeves, he's solid. Go out and enjoy this game tonight. Let's give a 4-pack away. Let's go caller number
Caller number 12, that is the amount of wins for the UNC Bears right now. Caller number 12, we're going to hook you up. Call the First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310, 970-353-1310. Caller 12, we're going to get you a four-pack of tickets to go see the UNC Bears, one of the hottest teams in Colorado right now. They have one of the better basketball players around. Maybe, I mean, this guy's got to be up there in the top 20s of current college basketball players. He's that good. So caller 12, 970-353-1310. Big one tonight for the UNC Bears. All right, Zach Stevens coming up next. What are the realistic landing spots for Russell Wilson? And or does he just stay put? Is he back with the Broncos next year? Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos, coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
I want to thank Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor for all of their support. They're big Bears supporters. I bet you Ryan's going to be out at the game tonight. Formed by two UNC Bears alumni 20 years ago, Renaissance Insurance has always had our backs. They specialize in risk management, commercial, and personal insurance needs for Weld County. Give them a call. Give Ryan a call at 970-674-8825. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios looking to try to track down Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos and chat with him a bit about the possibilities of where Russ might go. Before we do that, let me answer one of these questions. Esai Chris said, would be interesting to know how past Big Sky players of the year fared after college. I don't know the answer on a lot of those, but I know UNC had one. They had two in the last 20 years or so. Jordan Davis won it for the Bears in 2018 and 19, or the 2018-19 season. He was a hell of a player. He's still playing professional basketball overseas. And then in 2010-11, that was the crazy year, right? That was when they went dancing, kind of. Devin Beitzel. And he works here in the Northern Colorado community, so he, good dude. Excellent guy. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Joining me now, our Broncos insider, Zach Stevens from DNVR Broncos. Susan and Cheryl, like, this is their man crush. They just love Zach. I don't know, it's got to be the hair, but hands off, he is married, man. So just leave him alone. Zach, how are you, man? I'm doing my best for you.
Man, Susan and Cheryl are just the best. I love it, Brady.
They're your fan club, man. They love you. Zach, so before I get into the Russell Wilson stuff, because who better to lay this out than you, what are the realistic chances that the Bills release Von Miller? And then what are the realistic chances that the Broncos bring him home?
Yeah, it's a really interesting dilemma that the Bills have. And boy, Von couldn't be viewed differently in Buffalo, or more differently out in Buffalo compared to here in Broncos country. Broncos country absolutely loves him. Super Bowl 50 champ, and just an absolute beloved figure in the community. On the other side, the Bills gave Von Miller a massive contract in order for him to take them over that edge and win them a Super Bowl. And it has been so disappointing, mainly because of a very devastating injury that he had two seasons ago, his first year in Buffalo. But when he came back this year, midway through the season, Brady, he had three total tackles in the season. He didn't have a single sack. He didn't have a single tackle for a loss. He didn't start a single game. So Buffalo fans are done with Von Miller. But the Bills have an interesting decision to make, because if they move on from him this year, it's going to cost them, I believe, something like $9 million more this year to not have him on the roster. But if they move on from him this year, they'll actually end up saving $6 million over the next 2 years, if that makes sense. And to me, I could see it going either way for the Bills, but considering that they think they're still in that Super Bowl window right now, it's not a guarantee by any means that they release him. But there is a chance, because there is that 2 year saving. So it comes down to the Bills. Do they want to continue to try to go all in this year, or do they want to kind of open up their window again, and that's when they would release Von? And if they do release Von, you know, he would be back with the Broncos. The only way he would be back with the Broncos is on a vet minimum deal, because the Bills would be paying him a lot of money. So he would just come back here, and essentially it would be a storyline. It would be an emotional return for Vaughn, and Vaughn can be a mentor to these young guys. But to me, Brady, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense from a football perspective. Look, the Broncos tried to go the veteran route last year. They started the season with Randy Gregory and Frank Clark on the team, and by midway through the season, they were both gone. One was cut. The other one was essentially cut, as they traded him for a seventh-round conditional pick to the 49ers. They wanted the young guys to step up, and the young guys, for the most part, did step up. So, for me, I think it makes a lot more sense for, if Vaughn is released, for him to go somewhere else to try to win a Super Bowl and become the first player to ever win a Super Bowl with three different teams. Then it makes sense for him to be here and just be a mentor backup for a team that isn't looking at the playoffs right now.
Zach, where do you put Vaughn Miller in terms of greatest Broncos of all time? Is he on your Mount Rushmore?
Man, I think for to build an easy Mount Rushmore, what you do is you take the three Super Bowl MVPs, and of course, John Elway is absolutely up there, definitely number one. Terrell Davis, you can easily make him a case for number two. And then if you want to go down this route, you go Vaughn Miller number three. You could also include maybe first ballot Hall of Famers, so Champ Bailey could be up there as well. Maybe you want to look back further. But, yeah, Vaughn Miller is absolutely at least in the conversation for the Mount Rushmore of guys. And, you know, depending on how he finishes his career, he could be a first-ballot Hall of Famer too. And then that really solidifies himself in that Mount Rushmore.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. Zach, is Russell Wilson on your Mount Rushmore? Okay, probably not. Russell Wilson, you and I have talked a lot about this. You helped us kind of, you know, navigate through this so much of what this looks like. What are the scenarios here, the realistic scenarios? How many are there? And could we potentially see Russell Wilson be a starting quarterback for the Broncos or anybody next season?
Yeah, I do think that Russell Wilson will be a starting quarterback in the NFL next season. Statistically, 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions is one of the best in the NFL. Now, he clearly doesn't vibe with what Sean Payton's looking for in a quarterback, being able to win from the pocket, number one, number two, number three, and then maybe do some other things. Russ wants to be on the move and win from running around. So 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions tells me he is going to be a starting quarterback. The big thing is it going to be the Broncos paying him and he's taking that vet minimum deal from the Pittsburgh Steelers, from the Atlanta Falcons? Is he on the Broncos? Now, the only way that he's back with the Broncos is some sort of restructure to his contract. Pay cut, restructure. Russ decides to move some injury guarantees around. He's willing to adjust his contract in some way. Or, and I just don't think that this will be the case, Sean Payton says, you know, Russ is my best option. Let's just keep him on here. But if he's on the team this year without any changes to his contract, then Brady, he's going to be back for the 2025 season as well. And that's what makes this so tricky. That's why the Broncos asked him to move things around with his contract during the season last year, is because they would, if he's going to be on the team, they'd like it to be a year-by-year deal, not a 2 years at a time deal, the way the contract's set up. And Russ has every right and had every right to tell the Broncos, absolutely not, I'm not going to change the contract. They signed him to that deal, so it's his right to do that. But then that means that, so the Broncos have until next month before those 2025 guarantees kick in. That's why likely a decision will be made, whether he's coming back, whether it's a restructure, whether he's cut, or whether he's traded. And the trade version, I don't see that it is appealing for another team, because then that other team is taking on his contract, which would essentially boil down to a 2 year, somewhere around $50 million deal, where Brady, if he's cut by the Broncos, then Russ would probably just take a 1 year vet minimum deal. So it doesn't really make sense unless a team is very desperate and wants to guarantee that they land him. That's really the only reason that I see the Broncos being able to trade Russ. So those are kind of the scenarios. And right now everything's pointing to that the Broncos will release him, but they're doing their due diligence. They're talking to him behind the scenes.
Zach, what is the difference between the Broncos releasing him next month and then releasing him in June? Because we've talked about that too.
Yeah, and that's the post-June 1 designation And that all comes down to they could release him now with that post-June 1 designation, and it would just be about when money hits the books and dead cap. That's something you're going to hear a ton when it comes to Russell Wilson's contract. What that means is the salary cap that you have when a player is not on your team, but you have to keep that cap hit for him, dead cap money. And right now, Matt Ryan holds the record for the most dead cap by one player on a team in NFL history. I believe it was about $40 million. If the Broncos do decide to move on from Russell Wilson, they'll have $80 million in dead cap for him. So they're going to double the record for dead cap, which is not what you want to do. But if they release him with a pre-June 1 designation, what that means is that all $80 million of dead cap will be on the Broncos' books this year. So the salary cap's going to be just over $220 million. They'll have $80 million in dead cap for a player that is not on their team. If they do the post-June 1 designation, they can split that up pretty much 50-50 over the next 2 years. So this year it'll be about $40 million in dead cap. Next year it'll be about $40 million in dead cap. With how crippling that would be to have $80 million in dead cap this year, I would assume that they will do that post-June 1 designation if they do move on from him and split it up about $40 million each year.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. Zach, if the Broncos release him, whenever that might be, and then he does sign on for some kind of minimal-type contract with the team, are the Broncos still, do they still have to pay out that entire $39 million?
Yeah, and that's exactly why a team would likely do a one-year vet minimum deal, is because he's getting that $39 million in cash this year regardless of if he's on the Broncos, if he's on another team, if he decides to stay in retirement. So why a team would sign him to that, to the vet minimum deal, is because anything that they pay him makes it so that the Broncos don't have to pay him that much. Now, they do have to give him a contract. They have to get him a vet minimum, but that'll probably be just over $1 million. So the Broncos, if Russ is on another team next year after cutting him, they'll still owe him likely over $37 million. And it's just really going to benefit that next team, not only because the owners don't have to pay him, but his cap hit is going to be so small for another team. And Brady, that's one of the advantages of getting a rookie quarterback, is you don't have a big contract for your quarterback. That's your best window to win. If somehow you're able to, any organization is able to find a veteran that's good, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, typically those guys are $40, $50 million. That's why the Broncos gave Russ that deal, is because they thought he'd be worth it. If another team's getting him for $1 million, that creates a huge opportunity for that team to build a team around Russ.
Yeah, and again, you know, when we're talking about the guarantee that they would owe him, if they could shave off a couple of dollars, that doesn't matter to us. That matters to the billionaires that own the team, which really doesn't. It's all about the cap hit, right?
100%. And it's really funny. Players, all they care about, rightfully so, is the cash in their deals. But anyone outside of players, front office, player, fans, all they care about is the cap hit that's going to happen. And those two things can be very, very different. In fact, when the Broncos signed Russell Wilson to that deal, Russ got $80 million in cash in like the first 8 months of that deal, when the cap hit for Russ was like $10 million. So those things are very different. Now, at the end of Russ's deal, he's probably not going to be getting any cash from the Broncos, yet could still have a significant cap hit.
Zach, you haven't been on with us for a while, or for a couple of weeks, so we got to do this.
Rapid fire.
I just throw it at you because you can handle this better than most. Rapid fire.
It.
Okay, here we go. Zach, first question. Where will Russell Wilson be playing quarterback next season?
The Atlanta Falcons. There's going to be many options for Russ. And that Falcons, man, that could be a bad place for Russ to go when it comes to the Broncos' perspective.
Russ with Raheem Morris. There you go. What will the Broncos do at number 12?
They'll draft a quarterback. Right now, I'm thinking just my feelings. We're still so far away from the draft, but man, Bo Nix just becomes more intriguing as not a prospect, but a Sean Payton prospect the closer we get.
Interesting. Do you see a world where Taysom Hill is a Denver Bronco?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Taysom Hill is still productive. It's crazy. He's 33 years old, but he's developing more into even a receiver. I think he had his best receiving season in the NFL this past year. And come on, if Sean Payton can get his hands on Taysom Hill, you bet it's going to happen if the Saints do move on from him. He's still under contract there, but if they want to save some money, then they'll move on from him. And then, yep, I think he's going to continue that New Orleans to Denver pipeline.
If it comes down to these two teams, who's getting in the playoffs next year? Sean Payton's Broncos or Harbaugh's Chargers?
Brady, it kills me to say this, but right now I don't even think it's close. I think it's absolutely Harbaugh's Chargers. You see what Harbaugh did when he took over the 49ers. He took over a really bad team, and he flipped them around to a playoff team, an NFC championship team, his very first year there. The biggest thing is not only that, but he's got Justin Herbert. Who does Sean Payton have right now? Jarrett Stidham. And I guess technically Russell Wilson's still on the roster, but we know Sean doesn't really want Russ, so you got to go with the one that has a better quarterback right now.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, my man. Zach, there's nobody better. You are now the best insider for all things Broncos, and I'm not just saying it because you're here. I follow your stuff religiously, so you keep doing what you do, man, and we're honored to get you on the program when we can.
Oh, and I absolutely love being on, Brady. I really do. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, man. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Russell Wilson, where's he going to play? ATL. How you feel about that, Big Hub? Huh? Excited about Russ? You can have him. He's great, man. You'll love it. 47 minutes after the hour. Let's take a break. What do we learn coming up next?
You like podcasts? We podcast every show immediately after it airs at 1310kfka.com or wherever you download your favorite stuff. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.